Hello, my name is Vesa Juvanen, and in this particular video we will have a closer look how we can build a self-service site collection creation solution towards Office 365, which is based on a synchronous processing on demand using the Azure storage queues and web jobs. So essentially what we will have is a UI which we can start, and from the UI the end user can go and request a site collection to be created, and that will then add a message to the queue. We will get a message for the end user which is saying that your item has been recorded. We'll notify when the site collection is created because we don't actually know how long it's going to take, and then there's an asynchronous web job which has started automatically based on that request and with the right information within the request. You can find this example and the root the source code if you go akms/office-dev-bnb. So I'm going to quickly zoom in. There we go, you can actually see the right URL, and that will land you to our Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices wiki page. And within the wiki page, you can, for example, go to the dev branch. Right now, this particular code is only in the dev branch, but in every single Friday of the month, we'll do a master merge with the proper testing and all of that. And so you're able to then find this one in a master branch as well. This one is the provisioning.cloud async web job, and it has quite a few solutions. I'm going to work through the meaning of the solutions. Some of them are helper solutions, and some of them are the let's say, common business logic solution. So I'm going to walk through them during the video as well. But the easiest way to get started is to really just pull down the example and then have a look on the code and the video and get started with the example. Let's start by actually running the code. So what I'm going to do is simply run the code so you will see what's actually happening and how does it behave from an end user perspective. And we'll register a new site collection creation to the queue, which will start the process, and then we're able to go and have a look on individual bits and pieces and the code while the site collection is getting queued to be created. So I'm going to start the solution. I've already set the URL properly, so it's actually going to be deployed to my dev site collection. I'm going to actually use a different email address, so vesa.jvescoonline.com, and let's actually sign in. And the application has already been installed a while back. I've actually configured the Microsoft Azure set site as well, but I'm going to talk about what needs to be done and how does it actually behave. And the UI is relatively simple. It's just a simple UI where you can request a new site collection by giving a title, a URL. It is generating a GUID-based URL automatically. You can select the language. You can pick a template, which is more, let's say, future enhancement area. Right now, within this particular example, all of the templates are generating the exact same end result. But just as well, within your code, you might actually check that I've selected an organization or a group template, and therefore we will start with an out-of-the-box theme site, but then apply additional document libraries, content types, and so on that theme site. Then we are able to also select the time zone and set the storage in megabytes for the request. So let's actually do a BNP demo for video, and let's name the URL as BNP demo video. So you can actually recognize that I can show you that more easily within my tenant. Let's pick a team site. Let's do it in English. We could absolutely do whatever other languages are supported in Office 365 as well. And let's set a time zone to something else than Eastern US. Let's put that one just for fun as a London. And the storage, let's put that one in at 100 megabytes, and clicking create. Because this is an asynchronous process, our request or the end user is, let's say, in quotes, freed immediately. What the solution is doing, that it's essentially just showing that our request has been recorded, and you will get a notification on an email based on whenever the request has been actually processed. At this time, what actually happened was that request was added to the Azure storage queue, and then within from the Azure storage queue, it was already actually picked up by existing running a web job, which I have already deployed. I'm going to talk about those one in a second, but just to make sure that everything is actually up and running already, let's go and have a look on our Azure side, so I'm gonna actually come here. And this is just my Azure sites. This particular application or this particular web job, which is actually taking associated to the storage queue, is running under my PNP site called Sync Web Job. We're able to see some previous executions, some additional settings there. And underneath the Web Job tab, I'm able to see my continuously running web job. And if everything has been configured properly, we're able to actually see the logging and the executions of an individual requests. So we're able to actually see how the requests are processed and what is the current status of the execution. So in here, you're able to see that my my web job is running continuously, and there's my logs entry. And that's a really convenient additional logging for the web job. So we're able to actually go and see that the web job execution is ongoing. So I'm going to open up that one. We're able to see that there's our with the web job execution with the status of running. And if I'm going to actually open up the individual call, I can even see that what was the request. We requested with a team site with the PNP demo video. That's my own account, which was signed in. Title was PNP demo for video, and so on. And then there's those additional metadata, which is actually added to the queue for processing. This particular case, the web job is now executing. It does take a while, obviously, to take the execute the web job itself. And eventually then the site collection will be created. Well, actually, it seems to be relatively fast for this time. So let's actually have a look on the URL as well. So I'm going to move into my Office 365 admin. And here we are able to see that particular URL to be fully created already. That was really fast. And let's make sure that we actually got what was expected. So I'm going to actually take the URL on that one, and I'm going to paste that in into UI URL. Sorry, the browser, and we're able to see what is the end result with this example solution. And there we go. We have a nice custom branding, garage branding with a custom logo and the colors and background image actually applied on the site. Excellent. Works like it should be. So let's have a look on how did we actually make this happen properly. So I'm going to move on the Visual Studio side. I'm going to actually shut down the processing, and I'm going to just quickly walk through individual projects so you understand the meaning of a individual projects and what they're actually used for. We obviously have the documentation in the PNP. We do have two different helper projects. So this is the webjobconsole.create. That's actually calling the creation business logic for the site collection without all of this additional complexity of calling a storage queue and a web job. So you don't have to have anything actually deployed. And what it's doing is that it's using a app ID and a secret, which is a really important thing to remember and configure properly. So here we go. We have the client ID and a secret. And how did I actually came up with this client ID and secret? How did this particular console application, because this is a console application, how did we register this client ID and a secret for the console application? And let's have a look on that one. So if I move back on my Office 365 and I go to a URL called underscore layouts 15 app rec new on ASPX on any site within my tenant, I can actually register a client ID and I can register a client secret. So what I'm going to do here quickly is do just a mock-up on what happened and how did I got with that app ID and a secret. There's that title. Let's give it a title like temporary tenant permissions. So I'm going to delete this one afterwards. Local, I'm going to set the app domain as localhost because it really doesn't matter. I'm using this client ID and a client secret remotely accessing the SharePoint. It really doesn't have an app domain and it really doesn't have a redirection URL either. So I'm going to use the localhost there as well. So that's going to give us a client ID and a client secret. But now the client ID and client secret really doesn't have any permissions. To be able to create a site collection, we need to have a tenant permissions applied or available for this client ID and a client secret. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to go an alternative URL, which is the 15/app.inf. There we go, layout 15 and app.inf. And I'm going to actually do a lookup for that app ID, which we just created. And you're able to see now that the title is the temporary tenant permission with a small typo, so it is definitely the same fellow. And then we're able to provide the needed permission for this app ID using this text box in here. And what I'm going to do is that I'm going to paste in a XML structure, which is essentially asking two different things. It's first of all saying allow app only policy equals true, which is a really important thing because we don't run the console application in the context of the end user. And then we are asking app permission request and full control on the tenant level. Full control on the tenant level, which means that it can actually create site collections. You need to have a tenant administrative rights to be able to do that. And then I'm going to do create, and essentially then I need to trust that temporary tenant permission object and click trust it. And after this one, I have an int and a secret, which I can use programmatically from Microsoft Azure or from on-prem or from my console application to connect to the Office 365 and create a site collection. And let's make sure that that's actually working. So that's definitely one of the key values of having this kind of a helper project. So I can test this business logic and the logic of applying needed customizations to the site collection without the context and complexity of let's say web jobs and storage queues and so on. So I can easily run this as many times as I want. So what I'm going to do is that I'm right clicking the application or the project and do a start new instance. And then we have the right code for accessing the site using the app only token. So let's actually see what we're doing here. We are accessing my tenant admin URL. We are getting the realm for the target URL. We get a app only access token. And we create an admin context based on then on that access token. And access token request actually failed. Let's go and double check our URL, our client ID and a client secret. So they're definitely the right ones. Which they were registered previously. So let's actually double check what are we doing wrong. The tenant name is now actually wrong. I'm going to update that accordingly against my tenant where the client, this client ID and client secret has been registered. There we go. So now I'm able to retest what's actually that the recreation of the site collection is working properly. And don't worry, I'm going to delete obviously that permission in my tenant. So no worries about me exposing you a tenant admin app ID and app secret. So let's rerun this one. And there's our debugger. I'm just going to quickly show you. There's my console application. I'm going to throw that on another screen so it's not on the middle of our debugging. Because it's a console application, we also don't have any timeouts. So I can actually play against Office 365 any way I want. So there we go. We get an app only access token, and then we have an admin context. So what I do usually is that the reality is that as a developer, as long as you are able to copy paste these sections, you're good to go. And as long as you are able to do the app rec and app inf registration, if you want, you can absolutely investigate more about the security. But to be honest, quite often you don't actually have to. In this particular case, as I for the code, we're just creating a new site collection with a new GUID URL. So I'm going to just create a site collection with a unique URL. I'm going to double check this that URL already in use because it's a GUID based URL. It's definitely not in use. So our provisioning data and all of that can be actually started. And the following sections is more about we're building that request, a provisioning data request message, which will be actually, which is mimicking the message what we have actually on the queue, in the storage queue. So I'm going to do F5 until we run to the business logic. And then within the business logic, this is the same business logic which will be called by the web job, which is then creating the site collection asynchronously in the Microsoft Azure context. But this way I'm essentially able to test the whole logic outside of the complexity of Azure, even though that's not actually that complex, but I can do debugging, I can do testing and all of that much more conveniently. The creation of the site collection will happen using the tenant object and create site collection, create site method. And after that, what we do is that we wait until the site collection is created or it's completed. And then we do have an apply template for the created site collection. That's essentially applying the garage template then on top of the site collection. I'm going to leave that one actually running in the debugging mode, so we're able to then have a look on the other solutions. That shouldn't take too long, the site collection to be created. But that's, well, actually, to be honest, I'm going to actually pause that one and I'm going to break down the creation, because I want to show you the second solution here, or the project, and this one also requires some debugging. So I'm going to quickly show what this solution is all about. So this is mimicking then the section, or the, let's say, the individual request. This is mimicking the operation in the which will happen in the browser whenever the person actually fulfills the form and then clicking as I request the site collection. This is essentially doing the exact same thing, but we're doing that using a standardized values in a console application. But the key point here is again that it's actually calling that centralized business logic component. So if we go there, this is the exact same code which is then called by the UI, the provider hosted application UI, the add item to the queue, and then within the queue we're able to start processing the item. What I'm going to quickly do here is that I'm going to actually go to my Microsoft Azure site. I'm going to pause my web job so that the items within the queue are not actually processed right now. And then I'm going to go back on my Visual Studio site and let's actually execute that message project. The one thing that I need to make sure is that my storage connection string is properly done, because this is now pointing to my own storage, Microsoft Azure storage and the storage queues, and it's going to then create the storage queue within my Microsoft Azure tenant. So let's actually go and quickly have a look on that one as well. So in our storage site, if you go to the storages, what I've done is that I've just created an Office 365 BNPWE account, and I've just copied essentially the account key and the storage account name to my connections as my connection string to my console application. So this way, what I can do is by right-clicking this one and start debugging. I can make sure that my adding item to the queue is working properly before I'm actually deploying anything on the Azure itself. There we go, that has been now executed. So if everything is now properly running, we should be able to see a new item in the queue for the web job. So let's actually have a look on that one. So let's open up in Azure. Let's go to back on the storage. Extending a wrong item. Refreshing. I'm going to zoom in a second. Not that one. There we go. And extending that one as well. So what's going to happen now is that I have a Office 365 BNP Western Europe VE, and then I have a queue called Async Site Requests, which is the queue. And if I'm going to actually open up that one, I'm able to see that item which was just added to the queue as a testing test entry. So I'm able to now mimic the situation. So now if my web job would be running, I don't need to actually start my provider hosted application to add items on the site collection creation queue. Good. And now if we go back on the Azure side, so I'm going to go back on my Microsoft Azure side. I'm going to go back on my web sites, which are in here. And that's the one website which I have the web job actually running or installed. It's not right now running because it has been stopped. And now I can actually go and do a start, which will start the web job in the continuous mode. And whenever it actually is started, if everything is configured properly, it's now in the running mode. And now if we go to the logs, we're able to actually see that if everything is now running as it should be, we have that one item in the, taken from the queue, and that's now under processing to be created as a site collection, new site collection. I mentioned DampID and App Secret, so that's really, really important point for configuration. So the web job which is running in Microsoft Azure, It's now using that UPID in a secret, which I've manually configured to have the right permissions within my tenant. And that's something which we absolutely can configure in the WebJob app config. So I'm going to actually go here in the WebJob app config. We have two different settings, or few different settings. We have the client ID and a client secret, which we can configure in the app job in sorry app config in here, and then we're able to deploy that to Azure. And then we also have a Azure web job dashboard and Azure web job storage, which have to be configured. The dashboard is for the logging purposes, and the storage is for connecting to the queue itself. I can absolutely configure this in the app config in here and then deploy them to the Microsoft Azure. But the reality is that you probably don't want to actually do that. What you probably want to do is that you override those settings using the configure tab in the Microsoft Azure. So here, let's actually zoom down, scroll down, down, down. Here we go. There's my client ID and my client secret, which I'm currently using for this particular testing. And there's my Azure Web Jobs dashboard and storage. And what this means is that if these values would be in the app config, it would be overridden by this, what we are seeing in the UI. So this way, you don't have to worry about whether you're actually deploying from the Visual Studio to the Microsoft Azure. You can override those settings in the central, well, in the Azure admins portal. Good. What else? So let's actually have one more, maybe a pointer related on the connectivity between the storage queue and also the web job. So the web jobs themselves are continuously running web jobs. There's another video which goes slightly more detailed on what it actually means in a blog post. But this is essentially set as a run and a block, which means that it's continuously running. It's waiting for something to actually call it. And the connectivity with our storage queue is as simple as, I'm going to quickly resize some of the windows, as adding a write attribute to our method signature. So here we are able to see the queue trigger and the queue trigger and the queue name. So this is actually a constant. If I'm going to go here and do a go to definition, it's a constant called async site request. Essentially, what it means is that now, whenever the web job is set to the continuous mode, it will read that connection string entry, which is pointing the storage queue or storage account in the Microsoft Azure. And then, whenever there's an item added to this storage queue, we are actually getting that complex provisioning data object to our web job. And then, within our web job, we're able to start processing that individual request. So now, in this particular case, as an example, what we're doing is that we are also bypassing some graphical objects and graphical elements from the which have been also deployed to the web job itself. So as part of my web job deployment, I actually am deploying a theme files. This could be stored in Azure storage or somewhere else as well. But these are then dynamically added on the site, which is provisioned by using the same business logic as our helper project is actually using. So all of the code is reusing the same store elements and same components. One thing to actually just to pinpoint on the web job development. So right now, and this is a super super cool thing. So right now our web job is actually running and it has been deployed. So I'm going to put a breakpoint actually over there, and then I can enable to use the Server Explorer. I'm able to extend my websites in the Microsoft Azure. I'm going to zoom in a second, so you're able to see what do I have here. It's now refreshing. There's my async BNP async web job. There's my web jobs tag, and this particular web job is under continuous. Dun, dun, dun. And there's our provisioning cloud web job. So I'm going to actually zoom in quickly. That's our website, which is hosting our web job, which is provisioning cloud async web job, which is running as a continuously. And what I can do is what is really cool that I can actually come here and do an attach debugger. So I can actually start even debugging what's actually happening within the website or within the Microsoft Azure. And then I can start testing, is it actually working properly? And this absolutely helps on let's say testing that your business logic works properly. But I actually personally prefer writing those sample or helper projects or console application or writing a unit test, which are making sure that your business logic is working properly. If you prefer a unit test project to be added on your Visual Studio. The remote debugging does take a while with Microsoft Azure. It depends definitely on the network latencies and on which data center you're actually hosting your web job. But now we have debugging enabled. And now if we go to the Microsoft Azure site, let's actually do this manually. So I'm going to go here. I'm going to go to the web job itself just to make sure that our debugging is fired properly. So let's go on the website. Well, actually, we have the dashboard already open here. Let's go to here. We're able to see that do we have any running requests? This never finished. Did we shut down that? I can't remember what actually happened, but never mind. Let's go to the functions. Let's do then replay function. So this is a one way of making also sure that we are actually or you're able to repeat your previous executions. And let's call this BNP VESA test as the URL. Other settings and configurations are properly done. And let's do replay. And what's happening now is that we are essentially calling that function, the process queue message function. And after a while, the Visual Studio should actually pick up that we have that new item within the queue. It's now in queued status, so it's actually added on the queue. And then the Microsoft Azure will actually pick up that message from the storage queue, and then our debugging will actually hit in the Visual Studio side. It's already moving on the Visual Studio. And where is our breakpoint hit? It's loading already items. Here we go. It looks already excellent. There we go, and there's our breakpoint hit, and we're able to start having a look, more closer look on the what was actually called, what is this data object, what does the data object actually contains, what are the information, what do we actually have, and debug through the code like in a normal way, which is absolutely excellent for the web job development. Anyway, that's all we're going to do within this video. So this was partly just going through what the web jobs actually mean and what the storage queues actually means and how we can do that connection, and partly about the self-service site collection creation. The individual code for the site collection creation is relatively simple. I think it's all about the additional complexity might come if you're not familiar with the complexity of adding this asynchronous process on top of the actual code, because we definitely want to have the self-service site collection creation experience as an asynchronous process, so we're not looking the end user to be watching as a GIF animation until a site collection is created. Thanks for your time, and this is definitely what we're going to do this time. Just going to paste in, open up one more time the UI there. Good looking site, good looking theme. And hopefully you will have fun doing development against Office 365 with the Microsoft Azure. Thank you.